Grace and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning is from the gospel lesson from the 17th chapter of Luke. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Please join me in prayer. Thanks be to you, O God, as we go our way, made whole by Jesus. Amen. Dear Christian friends, it has been said that people are either cat people or dog people. My wife and I were kind of discussing this as we were coming this morning, and we were wondering if it's about 50-50, and so she said, "Well, why don't you ask?" And so I'm going to. How many of you like cats more than dogs? Raise your hand. Okay, and how many of you like dogs more than cats? Raise your hand. Whoa, this is obviously a dog group here. Yeah. My wife and I had a cat. Her name was Harriet. She was rescued from a humane society. She was pampered, brushed, fed, and loved. And she could sleep just about any place in the house. Now, you would think that with all of that, she would be thankful, that she would want to sit on my lap and purr. Not so. When she would see me coming, she had a look of terror on her face, and she would run away. The only time that she ever came to me was, one, feed me. She was hungry, her bowl was empty, and okay, feed me. And then in the wintertime, when the house was a lot cooler than usual, she would sit on my lap. But she would always sit facing my wife. And the reason she wasn't sitting on my wife's lap is that my wife had a laptop on her lap. And she would stare at her. And you could almost sense what she was trying to do as a cat, trying to get her thoughts to my wife. "You want me on your lap. Get that laptop off your lap. You want me." When she did sit on my lap, those rare times, I would try to pet her, but she would turn around and snap at me. I still couldn't figure out her mind. Well, that was an ungrateful and unthankful cat. But as human beings, a lot of times we're not much better. It's not God's fault. He didn't create us that way. When God created our first parents, he placed them in a beautiful paradise. There was no disease, there was no hunger, there was no bad weather. And God continued to give them gifts to sustain them, and would have forever. But what was their reaction? Did they praise God for all that he had given them? No, not hardly. Satan came down and tempted them. He said to them, "If you eat from this tree, you will know both good and evil, and you will be like God." Satan planted the seed of the idea that God was holding out on them, and they deserved more. Satan, of course, had rebelled in heaven and had been cast out, and now he was down in God's creation trying to spoil that. Adam and Eve thought it was such a good idea, a good suggestion, Satan. But as a result, when they disobeyed God, they lost paradise. They lost everything. And they and their descendants, you and I, because they are our first parents, we are disobedient and we have ungrateful hearts. Like our cat Harriet running away. Adam and Eve ran away too when they realized what they had done and tried to hide from God. But God searched them out. God gave them his grace. And even though they did not thank God, he did not ignore their wants. People can be unthankful. And some of them will justify it by saying that God has let them down. But that's not the case at all, is it? Have you ever sat in your doctor's waiting room, and usually once a year they'll hand you this form for you to fill out, your medical history? My doctor has a 4-page form with 2 columns on each page. And it asks you your history. You have high blood pressure, liver problems, gallbladder problems, jaundice, hepatitis, heart problems, kidney problems, stomach, indigestion, ulcer. Do you have bleeding and excessive bruising? Are you paralyzed or have numbness? Have you broken any bones? Do you have back problems? Do you have excessive scarring? And that's just column 1. When I look at that list, and I've ticked off a couple, it's hardly much compared to what could go wrong. God has very much blessed us with so many things throughout our life. And we should be thankful, but are we really thankful? You know, to the human being, it's not natural to be thankful. It's not easy for human beings to be thankful. Look at God's own people, Israel. When Moses led the people of Israel out of their slavery in Egypt across the Red Sea and saw the army of Pharaoh drown in the waters of the Red Sea and brought them into the wilderness, you would think they would be delirious with joy and thankful eternally for being freed. You would think so, but that's not what happened. What happened? Immediately, when they came to a place where the water was not to their liking, the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" That's Exodus 15. God's answer was to sweeten the water. By the next chapter, chapter 16, we hear the children of Israel murmured against Moses, saying, "For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." What was God's answer? He fed them. Okay, that was good. Now, chapter 17. The people murmured against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle? We thirst." You get the pattern. They would have a problem. They would start complaining and murmuring against Moses and God, and then God would answer them and care for them and take care of their problem. And it was fine until the next problem came along. And then they murmured against God, and they complained, and then God had to answer again. You would think that they would catch on, that God was more than just somebody you went to when you had a problem, that you would thank God, but they never did. That brings us to our gospel lesson this morning. The 10 lepers, or as I could call it, the 90%, that were unthankful. In Jesus' time, leprosy was a terrible disease. Today they call it Hansen's disease. It can be cured easily with medicine today, but in Jesus' time they didn't have that medicine, and it was not curable. You knew you had leprosy when a rough patch of skin began to form on your body and it would begin to spread. Priests throughout Israel were trained to diagnose leprosy, And if they said you had leprosy, your life changed drastically. You were on a self-imposed exile. You couldn't live with your family. You couldn't live in your house. You couldn't do the work that you ordinarily did. You were cast out, removed. And if somebody came towards you, you had to call out unclean to warn them away. It was a miserable life. Not just the aloneness, but also what was happening to your body as leprosy spread. You lost feeling in your hands and your feet. Many a leper would break bones and not even know it because they didn't feel it. And your flesh literally rotted. You would find appendages breaking off. It was a horrible disease to go through. Luke tells us that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem between Galilee and Samaria to the north. And these men called out and they said, "Have mercy on us." It was really quite a statement of faith from these people because leprosy was not curable. Only once in the Old Testament was a leper healed. He was healed by Elijah, and he wasn't even an Israelite, Naaman. So when they called out to Jesus to have mercy, it was really a wondrous statement of faith. Maybe Jesus can help us. And what did Jesus do? He said simply, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Because if the priest could diagnose that you had leprosy, the priest could also say, "Your leprosy is no longer there." And you could return home. You could return to a normal life. And as soon as Jesus said that, "Go show yourselves to the priest," they turned and went. I wondered many times how long it took for them to realize what had happened. Because they really didn't have to go to a priest to see for themselves what was happening, to look down on their hand, this crusty, grayish, rotting hand, and suddenly see it pink, alive, cleansed. They knew as soon as they saw that they were healed. We're told one turned to give praise to God and to thank Jesus. What about the nine? That was Jesus' question. What about the nine? Well, Jesus, you did say, "Go show yourself to the priest." And that was the next order of business for these nine, to hurry and be certified that they were healed. Thank you notes to be sent later, if we remember. You know how that goes. They would hurry home, share the good news. They were delirious with joy, but not delirious with thanksgiving. And still it is today. We prayed this morning in the collect. Let me refer to it again. We said, "Give thanks for your compassion." We prayed that we would give thanks for God's compassion. And yet, really, how thankful are we? You know, in the general prayer, we pray for those who are sick. I've been doing it for 46 years. Whenever I lead a service, we have the general prayer, and almost always there is someone we pray for asking that they be well, that they be healed. Now, I think I can safely say without exaggeration that in 46 years, maybe 1 out of 100 people who have asked to be prayed for will come back later and say to me, "Could you have a prayer of thanks this Sunday because I've been healed? I went through that operation. I'm better now. That's worse than what Jesus had, who had only 1 out of 10. 1 out of 100. Remember when your parents would say, "Now Johnny, now Susie, say thank you to Grandpa and Grandma." Our parents had to teach us to say thanks. And generally, we weren't very good about it, even when we became adults. Our Heavenly Father again says to us, say thank you. Give thanks to God for all the gifts that He has given to you, to give us a thankful heart, because you see, it's not an issue of just good manners. It's an issue of a thankful heart in a sinner body. The way we can be thankful is as the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 4. Grace reaching people may cause thanksgiving to overflow. God is at work to bring that thanksgiving into our hearts and in our lives. May He do so in Jesus' name. Amen.